Welcome to Letter from the Capitol, a weekly podcast covering national security, economic, and cultural issues.
Greetings. I'm John Wohlstetter. Welcome to my Letter from the Capitol podcast. Today we will discuss the 2014 Gaza War, takeaways through July. Let's begin with casualties. As this podcast was recorded, Israel agreed to a 72-hour humanitarian ceasefire. Much of the pressure for this comes as Israel is increasingly accused of failing to do all it could to limit collateral civilian casualties. Through July 30th, a tally published by the Washington Post shows Israel striking 3,577 targets inside Gaza, with 1,357 Gazan fatalities, the latter figure coming from Hamas. But parse these paired numbers and one sees this. For every 10 targets hit by Israel, fewer than 4 Gazans were killed. Much has also been made of the far lower fatality rate within Israel, with 2,753 rocket launches from Gaza causing only 59 Israeli fatalities. Thus, there are only 2 Israeli fatalities per 100 Hamas rockets launched. But that reflects two factors. One, Iron Dome intercepts most of those headed for populated areas. Two, Hamas is aiming at civilians, and thus its low success rate is due to inaccurate fire and penetration. Israel is continuing to demolish the terror tunnels, which, by the way, reportedly were built with child, partly slave labor, killing some 160 children Hamas professes to cherish. Secretary of State Kerry's late July Hamas-oriented ceasefire proposal not only infuriated Israel, it infuriated, get this, the Palestinian Authority and the Egyptians as well. Predictably, Kerry's draft met the demands of Hamas and ignored Israel's, including that calling for dismantling of the tunnels. A recent Washington Post editorial reports on these, quote, offensive tunnels, unquote. Indeed, they do offend civilized sensibilities. Quote, the concrete-lined structures are stocked with materials such as handcuffs and tranquilizers that could be used on hostages. Other tunnels in northern Gaza are designed for the storage and firing of missiles at Israeli cities, unquote. One tunnel, WAPO's editorial informs us, was located underneath a hospital where also were hidden weapons and a command post. Oh yes, the concrete was materials sent Hamas for construction of housing for the poor. Israeli intelligence revealed that Hamas planned a September 24 terror attack via the tunnel network, sending 200 terrorists into Israel to attack kibbutzes, schools, including kindergartens, and Lord knows what else. This would have taken place on Rosh Hashanah, the first of the two nights of the Jewish New Year. Such an attack, if surprise were achieved, could easily have yielded 1,000 civilian casualties, hundreds dead, hundreds wounded, hundreds held hostage. In such event, Israel would have had to launch a far more devastating retaliatory assault on Gaza with far less solicitude for civilian casualties. Now the Hamas you don't see. International media, including American outlets, rarely show scenes of Hamas beating civilians, trying to vacate targets upon receiving Israeli Defense Force IDF warnings to leave. Wall Street Journal pundit Brett Stevens sees this as making the case for barbarism. He calls it, quote, the Palestine effect, the abrupt and almost total collapse of logical reasoning, skeptical intelligence, and ordinary moral judgment whenever the subject of Palestinian suffering arises, for which he blames gullible news outlets. He writes, quote, consider the media obsession with the body count. According to a daily tally of the New York Times, as of July 27th, the war in Gaza had claimed 1,023 Palestinian lives as against 46 Israelis. How does the Times keep such an accurate account of Palestinian deaths? A footnote discloses, quote, Palestinian death tallies are provided by the Palestinian Health Ministry and the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, unquote. Returning to Brett Stevens, his own quotation, he writes, quote, "So who runs the Palestinian health ministry in Gaza? Hamas does. As for the UN, it gets its data mainly from two Palestinian agitprop NGOs, one of which, the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, offers the remarkably precise statistics that as of July 27th, exactly 82% of the deaths in Gaza have been civilians. Curiously, during the 2008-09 Gaza War, the center also reported an 82% civilian casualty rate." Stevens concludes, "When minutely exact statistics are provided in chaotic circumstances, it suggests the statistics are garbage. When a news organization relies, without clarification, on data provided by a bureaucratic organ of a terrorist organization, there's something wrong there too," unquote. Casualty numbers aired by the media are lopsided. Historical numbers show a 50-50 split between military and civilians. Hamas numbers are higher, the IDF's lower. Team Obama believes the terrorists, supporters of Israel, think otherwise. One permanent casualty of this war: Israel will never fully trust America again. It knows that voters here can not only elect, but even re-elect, a president whose preferred policies and gut-level sympathies favor Israel's adversaries. That neither election turned on the president's view of Israel offers small comfort, as it suggests that Israel's fate is not a prime concern of American voters, not even Jewish voters. Some top Israel supporters see these trends and urge that Israel phase out American financial support. Israel's becoming an energy exporter will ease the financial impact of foregoing American aid. Some specific takeaways from this war: Hamas will extract a fearful price, but Israelis feel, rightly, that they have no choice but to proceed, else next time things will be even worse. My four specific takeaways from the third Gaza war to date here on the last day of July 2014. 1. The terror tunnels have transformed the debate, just as the border crisis has changed our immigration debate. In each case, security concerns now trump all else. 2. Israel's alliances with Arab states could make her their strongest ally in the region, supplanting lax, strategically stupid Team Obama. 3. Hezbollah, watching from Lebanon, may decide it is better to focus on the Levant mess, Syria-Lebanon, than tangle with Bibi Unchained. 4. Ominously for Israel, once again Israeli Arabs showed public solidarity with Palestinian violence. If in a war in which the moral balance was identical to that between Nazi Germany versus Britain during the 1940 Battle of Britain air war over England, for Israeli Arabs to side with the Hamas-led Arabs of Gaza indicates that they, roughly 20% of Israel's 8 million population, are increasingly acting like a World War II German Fifth Column. They are unlikely to defend the Jewish state, even as they enjoy vastly more rights and prosperity than it would enjoy anywhere in Arab lands. Bottom line, Israel faces an implacable enemy, with its number one ally over the past 50 years tilting away. The Jewish state would do well to cultivate stronger ties with emerging Arab allies, and also to move swiftly toward complete financial independence from America, its longtime chief benefactor, due to changes in the American electorate that signal growing risks in continued Israeli financial dependence. The game changer here is for Israel to fulfill its potential as an energy superpower. And there is a little bit more on the bottom line I'd like to add to that. And that is, Israel must achieve maximum success this time and prevent Hamas from rearming, or the fourth Gaza war will be inevitable and prove vastly more costly for the Jewish state. It will also be vastly more costly for America, which, alas, the present administration seems not to grasp. For a letter from the Capitol, this is John Wallstetter. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute. Letter from the Capitol is a trademark and copyright of John Wallstetter. Rebroadcasts of this podcast are allowed only with permission of the Discovery Institute. For more information, please visit www.letterfromthecapitol.com or www.discovery.org.